Back, y'all mighty brave people, I'm telling you. But it's been a joy to be here. I do wish I'd been well enough to do better myself, but anyway, the Lord, me and the preacher was talking about that today. The Lord knows all about it, amen. I can assure you I wish I'd been well, amen. But we've enjoyed being here. Thank you for the nice place to stay, and certainly enjoyed fellowshipping with your pastor, amen. His wife, we got to eat several nights together, and thank the Lord for that. I appreciate and love you, Pastor. Have a kindred spirit to him, and I feel like we're trying to do the same thing in our different areas of the country, and I appreciate what y'all are doing here. Thank you for the good singing. Singing's been tremendous. I reached over and told my wife tonight, selection of songs has been tremendous for the choir and the singing, and the choir has done an outstanding job as well as special singing. We have thoroughly enjoyed it, I'm telling you. I'm going to take that song we sang tonight, Justice Called and Mercy Answered. I'm going to take that back to our church and tell my grandson leads the choir, so I have to pull a little rank there, amen. So I'm going to tell him we want to learn that song, sing that song here pretty soon in the church, amen. And we just started singing that song about Adam's fall, sister, and one of my grandsons sings that. That's a tremendous song. Pray, Lord, have mercy. If we was right with God, we'd probably all be out in the highway running up down the road. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was sitting there thinking this. If God could forgive Adam, he could forgive anybody. Now, wait a minute. What hideous sin did he commit? What is the awful thing that Adam did to get us in this condition? Took a piece of fruit. Didn't commit adultery. Didn't kill nobody. Amen. He took a piece of fruit. And one piece of fruit plunged the whole world in sin. Are you listening? And of all the repercussions of what Adam did, God still forgave him. If God can forgive Adam, he can. I don't care what you've done, God can forgive you. Hey, 4,000 years, 6,000 years of sin that Adam caused, and God forgave Adam. Are you listening? Adam's sin caused Jesus to die. Are you listening? If God can forgive Adam, you ain't done nothing too bad that God can't forgive you. Hey, Adam's sin caused God to have to give up his own son. And he forgave him. Are you listening? I know that's elementary, but I am telling you. Sure got a hold of me one day if God, because we're working, and y'all know we are, and I'm not here to talk about that, but we're working with some men. I have drunkards and getting out of prison and alcoholics and drug addiction, amen. And I'm telling you, we're working with a crowd that some of them think this: I have done too much bad for God to forgive me. I've had some of them say to me, "Preacher, if you knew what I've done, you would not think God could forgive me." And I thought about this: if God can forgive Adam, he can forgive anybody. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, amen. I don't know who's here tonight needs that, but Lord put it on my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thank y'all for letting us come. Amen. It sounds like I'm coming back, but if I ever get back, I hope I'll be well. Amen. I'm not trying to say I'm coming back, but I hope I can be better next time if I do get to come back. Might not get to do that because, you know, we might be in heaven. Tell you, everything's shaping up overseas again, right? Right there in the middle of Israel, I'm telling you, 40,000 troops, y'all know that, amen, getting ready to go to war. So I'm telling you, something's going to be happening there, very, very exciting when the Lord comes, amen. And anytime I hear that and read about that, I say, man, this could be it. This could be it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you turn to 1 John tonight, if you would. Me and the preacher was talking one day this week, and I pretty well knew I was going to preach this message. And the preacher was talking, but I preached my whole message at the table. And I thought, preacher, you might need to quit talking right there because that's what I'm preaching on later in the week. Amen. So 1 John, if you'll turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. Amen. If we're physically able to stand, we'll stand and read that chapter tonight. 1 John chapter number 1. Great, great book in the Bible. 1 John chapter number 1. One thing about John and James and them fellas back there in the back of the Bible, you don't have to scratch your head about what they're saying. They just come right out and tell it like it is. Amen. Amen. They wrote it, and I get in trouble for preaching it. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come to church tonight. Thank you for the good singing, the good spirit. Thank you for what we enjoyed last night and all the other nights we've been here. Appreciate the presence of God in the services. Lord, I pray you'd help us now tonight. God, it's evident again, I need a physical touch. Please help me with that tonight, Lord, that God, the message might be clear and understandable. I pray, God, you'd help me spiritually. Touch me, Lord, I pray. Let me be a channel tonight, God, that you can speak through. Thank you again for your goodness. Thank you to be saved. Lord, if there be somebody in this room tonight that's not saved, God, may the Holy Spirit of God reveal that to them tonight. May that be the wonderful night that, God, they give their life to Christ and get born into the family of God. Help us now is our prayer. Get glory to yourself, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Gospel of John. John wrote 5 books in the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the Epistles of John, and he wrote the book of the Revelation. The Gospel of John primarily, though it includes a lot of things, the Gospel of John primarily is a book about salvation. Then he wrote the Epistles of John, and primarily the Epistles of John deal with security. And then, of course, he wrote the book of the Revelation that deals with the second coming. The Gospel of John primarily talks about creating a relationship. The Epistle of John talks about fellowship. And now verse number 3, verse number 6, and verse number 7 of our reading tonight, he talked about fellowship. In verse number 3, that which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So John is writing about fellowship. John is writing a book that says we need to have fellowship with the Father. Now, if anybody knew about fellowship among the disciples, it would have been John. There were 12 disciples. 3 of them we kind of refer to as the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But only John went to Calvary. No other disciple went to Calvary but John. And John is referred to as John the Beloved. So John is a writer of talking about having fellowship with the Father. Now I said all that to say this. John talks about knowledge. 39 times he mentions this word in some form. Knowing. He mentions the word knowledge. And here's what I got out of that. John is simply saying that if we would fellowship with the Father, then we'd have more knowledge of the Father. I think this is what I think. I think a lot of doubt that we deal with in our churches among God's people, I think a lot of that comes from the lack of fellowship. Because the more you fellowship with somebody, the better you know them. And if we would fellowship with the Father, we would know the Father, and we wouldn't have so much doubt in our life. Amen. So John is writing about fellowshipping with the Father. Amen. So notice number 1, there is the foundation of fellowship. That comes from verse number 2. For this life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. First of all, John says there has to be a foundation for fellowship. That is, you must have a relationship. You cannot fellowship with somebody that you don't know. And so John is writing to say there's got to be a relationship in order to establish fellowship. Amen. So John is saying, first of all, we have to have life. We have to have the life of God in us. And so when you get saved, God puts his life in you. We have eternal life. Now, a lot of times we talk about eternal life, we're talking about having quantity of life. But really, we have eternal life because we have quality of life. Quality of life is that God lives in us. And when you've got God living in you, he's an eternal God. That means you're going to live forever. So I not only have a quantity of life, I have quality of life. And that quality of life gives me eternal life. Amen. Say, this is more than just turning over a new leaf. This thing about being saved is more than quitting a bunch of bad habits. This thing about getting saved is God takes up his residence in you, and you have the life of God living in you. Now, because of that, I can fellowship with God. Why? He's my heavenly Father. I'm his son, and I have a fellowship going on between the Father and his Son. Amen. Now, that ain't my message, but I'm trying to get there. So there's the foundation. You got to have life. I think about 6 or 7 times in the short epistle, he says you have to be born of God. So if you've never been born of God, you can't fellowship with God. So number one, that's the foundation. Number two, the fact of fellowship. What is that? It's possible. It's possible for me, from St. Stephen, South Carolina, Alfred Willis, a nobody from nowhere, can fellowship with the Almighty God of heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. I got up this morning. I took me a shower. I went up to my car. That's where I meditate and pray and read while I'm in revival. I can't do that in a motel room. So I go out to my car, and I get in my car, and I slide the seat back, and I get my Bible out, and I get my prayer book out, and I sat in the car on a beautiful morning like the morning this morning, and I fellowship with the God of heaven. Hallelujah. You said, what's so big about that? You know anybody bigger in fellowship than God? Somebody help me. It's possible. How do you know it's possible? I did it this morning. And I did it yesterday morning. And I did it the morning before that. And I plan on doing it in the morning. I'm fellowshipping with the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Now it's possible, it's personal. Just me and God. Now tonight we're fellowshipping with a bunch of us in God. And I love this. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. I love doing this. But I'm telling you, it's something about that personal fellowship with God. Something about getting alone with God. Just me and God can talk to one another. Amen. Sometimes I get down on the prayer. I might not pray something because I say, that brother over there might hear what I'm saying to God. He probably wouldn't want to hear me preach after I told God how bad I am. Somebody help me. But when I'm in the car, I can tell God all about me. God, you know how sorry and low down I am. You know what I did yesterday. And God of heaven, he'll forgive me and fellowship with me and cleanse me. Amen. So it's personal. Amen. It's possible. It's preeminent. Fellowship with God is the preeminent thing. Would y'all stay with me? Amen. What you trying to say? Here's what I read. In 100 professions of faith in 7 years, only 3 will be in church. Listen to me now. This is why I'm preaching on this. I read this statistic sometime a while back. And here's what the statistic said. Supposed to be reliable. It said, out of 100 professions of faith in 7 years, only 3 will be in church. And I thought to myself, Pastor, why would that be true? And I'm a nobody from nowhere, but this is how God gave it to me. I believe we're missing it because we're not fellowshipping with God after we get saved. I find it hard to believe all those people that come down. I know there's going to be some that didn't get it, but I find it hard to believe out of 100 people that profess salvation, only 3 got saved. But I think some get saved and they don't fellowship with God, and they get out of church and they get away from God because they're not fellowshipping with God. And when you don't fellowship with God, you don't have that communion, you don't have that joy, you don't have that peace, and they get away from God because they didn't fellowship with God. And John is writing to say, we got to have fellowship. I know that's elementary. You know what I'm about to convince our pastor? We don't need no deep theology in revivals. I think sometimes our revival, including me, sometimes you get a revival and you feel the pressure on you where you got to come up with something new. We don't need to come up with nothing new. Revival is just simply reminding us of what we already know and put it in action. Amen. I like deep truths. I like to hear good things I ain't never heard before. But I'm telling you what we need in revival. We need to get back to doing what we know to do already. And I'm telling you where we're missing in our churches. We're missing it in fellowship. Amen. Hey, I'm simply saying we need to not only have the foundation, the fact, we need to have the fixing in our fellowship. We need to fix our fellowship. I found this to be true. Sin brings guilt. And John is dealing with this chapter about sinning. Hey, as a child of God, he's not writing about a sinner. He said if we say we have no sin, he's talking about us. He's talking about us sinning. He's talking about Christians sinning. Amen. So we have to deal with our sin in order to fellowship. Amen. Now, I'm just simply saying to us tonight, he said, I want your fellowship fixed. We have a foundation. We have a fact. Hey, we want to fix our fellowship. And you know really what revival is all about? Revival is about fixing our fellowship. Revival is us getting back in fellowship with God like we used to be when we first got saved. Hallelujah. I'm convinced we're older now than the Lord, and we know more, and we don't fellowship, and we fellowship less. Hey, when you first got saved, the joy of God was in your soul. You didn't know hardly know. You didn't even hardly know no Bible. Yeah, but you knew you got saved. You had the joy bells of God ringing in your soul, and we walked on for God for a while, and we quit fellowshipping with God, and now we have no joy. We know a lot more, but we fellowship less. Fixing our fellowship. I'll tell you what, when sin comes in your life, it creates guilt. And I'll tell you what guilt will do. Guilt will stop you from fellowship. Amen. So let me deal with that tonight with the Lord's help. Amen. I think there's a lot of guilt in our churches. I think a lot of fellowship's broken because we've got guilty over the things we've done, and we hadn't got fellowship with God because we feel that guilt, and we got that guilt in us, and we won't fellowship with God because we're guilty. Are you listening? Hey, I read this. I was studying, preaching in my church a while back, first to share. I preached on the husband and the wife. And I guess I preached a whole month in my church on the husband and the wife. And I was reading behind a man that counsels thousands of couples. Now, he would not be as conservative-minded as we are, but I wasn't reading for that. I was reading about his advice to couples as a marriage counselor. And he said, I don't know what the statistics are. He said, but I can tell you what I dealt with. He said, I've counseled thousands of marriage couples. He says, here's what I dealt with in my counseling. He said, of all the women I counseled in marriage, over 50% of them were abused before they were 18 sexually. He said, I don't know if that's the statistic all across the country, but he said, among my counseling, I dealt with the women that I dealt with, he said over 50% of them, or 50% of them, had been abused in that area before 18 years old. And here's what he said. Many of the families that I dealt with, their marriages were messed up because those women were living with guilt. And they could not get rid of that guilt. And it carried over into their marriage relationship. And it about destroyed many of them's home because they couldn't get rid of the guilt. Are you listening to me? My point is simply this tonight. We've got to deal with our sin to get rid of the guilt so we can fellowship with the God of heaven. Amen. So that's what I want to try to deal with tonight. Amen. The fixing of our fellowship. God wants us to get rid of our guilt. Psychology wants to reveal your past, but God wants to remove your past. Amen. Psychology wants to keep, what did you do in your past? Hey, but God, you have no past. Amen. Hey, when you got born, I've never been down to the sheriff's department and see him roll a baby out and say, you under arrest, baby. And the baby can talk, well, I'm under arrest for what you did in there. He said, well, I just got here. I didn't do nothing in there. I'm going to tell you, when you got born again, you don't have a path. Anybody listen? Hey, what sins you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. When I got born again, God took care of my path. I got things in my past. If you knew them tonight, I wouldn't be here preaching. But God said, I don't know what sins you're talking about. All my sins have been washed away. Hallelujah. I'm simply saying to us tonight, I don't need nobody reviewing my past. God removed it. Yeah, man. So, hey, let me get to the message. Y'all will kill a white man up here preaching, I'm telling you. Amen. So let me give him a message. What you got to do about having fellowship? You got to come to the light. Look at verse 5. This is the message which you've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. Now let me remind you this. Nothing is going to satisfy you but fellowshipping with God. Yep, give him a point now. Serving God will not satisfy you. If serving God satisfies you, why do people quit? Are you listening? So serving God is not going to suffice it. I'm told, amen. I'm told after a profession of faith, for 2 years, people are excited about being saved, but after 2 years, it starts waning. I'll tell you why I believe that is. It's a lack of fellowship. They get saved, they get into the church, they start serving, but serving within itself will not satisfy you. Are you listening to me? I give you a classic example. Moses was a man who served God, and the preacher took care of a lot of that tonight. Amen. Hey, he saw the power of God. I don't think there's another man saw the power of God like Moses. Moses saw God send 10 plagues on the nation of Israel, and the very power of God fell in that land like we have never seen, they had never seen before. Hey, he saw the power of God open up the Red Sea and then march through on dry ground. Moses knew what it was to see the power of God. Moses knew what it was to see the provisions of God. God rained manna out of heaven, sent water out of a rock. God took care of them in a miraculous way. But I'll tell you what Moses said at the end, in Exodus chapter 33, Lord, I want to see your glory. He said, Lord, I've seen your power and I love it. I've seen your protection. I've seen your presence. I've seen your provision. But God, I want to see your presence. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what we need more than anything in our churches. We need God's presence. Amen. Hey, we can serve God, but I'm telling you, that will not suffice. And we ought to serve God, but nothing is going to suffice like having the presence of God. Amen. Somebody help me. I don't know if a greater comment that can be made to a church, that when I come to your church, I feel God's presence. Amen. I thank God. I hope this don't sound wrong. As some people come to our church that don't not in a church like this, and they visit our church, and they walk out the back door, and they say this to my priest, and I hope it'll be this way. I want it to be even more. And they walk out the back door, and they say, God's in this place. You know that's been said about your church? There's people come to your church and say, hey, you'll enjoy being at y'all's church. Why? Because God said, you better don't take that lightly. God ain't in every church. Don't run me off for saying that. God is not in every church. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'm talking about in the sense that we know the presence of God is there. Oh, I'm preaching far from where I preached this message before. Help me, Lord. I just want to obey God. Serving won't satisfy. Are you listening? Amen. Marriage won't satisfy. Some young persons, they get that age, they got to get married. And they think, oh, man, when I get married, I'll be completely satisfied. I won't need nothing else. But I don't tell you. I had some young couples over the last this year. I've married about 3 or 4 couples in my church, young couples, and they sat across the desk, and I've told them now, sir, when you marry her, her hair will always be fixed like it is now. And he looks at me like, are you crazy, preacher? And I look at her, I tell him, and she can't cook like your mama. And he looks at me like, what has that got to do with it? because they're in love. They ain't hearing a word I say. They gonna get married. They don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody listen? I reminded that one young man. He got married and his wife cooked biscuits the next morning, and he bit one of them biscuits but lost all of his teeth. And he said to her, said, "You don't make them biscuits like my mama does." She said, "Yeah, and you don't bring home my dough like my daddy did." Amen. Is anybody listen? Oh, we get married, we'll be happy ever after. Well, if you got Christ, the fellowship of Christ, you will. But if you ain't fellowship with Christ, that'll get old too. If that's not true, why half of them break it up? In church. Yeah, man. I'm simply saying, nothing's going to satisfy you but fellowshipping. You better listen to me. Church, hey, nothing's going to change you but fellowship. Are you listening to me? Hey, serving won't change you. Marriage won't change you. Oh, if I can marry him, I know he's not all he ought to be right now, but if I can marry him, I'll change him. You know what's probably going to happen? He's going to change you. Are y'all listening to me, church? Nothing is going to satisfy down here but fellowship. Nothing's going to keep you going for God if you're not fellowshipping. Amen. Serving won't keep you going. Hey, getting married won't keep you going. Nothing's going to change you but fellowship. And I hit on that point a little bit the other night. Hey, we don't need effort to change. We need exposure. I want to stay exposed to God. You know what you do? You become like those you hang around. Good or bad. If you hang around, evil communications corrupt good men. If you hang around the wrong crowd, they're going to pull you down. It's always easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. Hey, if you was on this platform, you could pull me a lot easier off than I could pull you up. Hey, I'm simply saying, you go be like those you hang around. Hang around with Jesus. He'll change you. Stay exposed to the things of God. Is anybody listening? Anybody listening? Amen. Hey, it's not effort to expose you. It's exposure. Hey, nothing's going to cause you to surrender but fellowship. Are you listening? Well, I don't know if I need to surrender to preach. No, you don't need to surrender to preach. You need to just surrender. Hello? Well, I don't know if I ought to surrender to be a missionary. No, before you ever surrender to be a missionary, you're going to have to surrender to God first. I read this the other day. I thought it pretty good. I wrote it down in the back of my Bible. We're always trying to get something from God. I want to get something from God. You don't need to get nothing from God. You need to get God. What we need is to get God. Hey, if we get God, we'll surrender. Hallelujah. Hey, if we get God in our lives and fellowship with God, we'd be willing to do anything He calls us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's my point. Hey, fellowship causes us to surrender. Could that be why we're not seeing many surrender? Amen. I called a mission board the other day. Had some things I heard about a good missionary on a mission board. And I called the mission board and I said, "Brother," I said, "one reason I support y'all's board is because y'all have the same standards that we have. And that's one reason I support y'all's mission board." I said, "Now, here's one of your good missionaries. They're telling me he's doing things that we don't approve of for our separation. And it's in y'all's guidelines that they can't do it being on the mission board. Are you listening to me?" He said, "Brother Willis, I hadn't heard that, but I'll check that out." Here's what I'm saying. Hey, here's a boy joined the mission board. Amen. He surrendered to be a missionary, but he's not living up to what God has told him, what are the bylaws of the mission board. And he's not living up to what we plan on supporting as a missionary. I simply said this. Here's what happened. He used to be there. He used to believe what we believe. He used to live like we thought you ought to live. Now he's not doing that. Here's what happened. He's quit fellowshipping with God. You will never convince me that a missionary, a preacher, somebody in some position of leadership that's once been there living for God, serving God, just overnight decided, "I'm not going to do that anymore." I'm going to tell you what happened. They got cold on their fellowship. You see the end result of the lack of fellowship. Amen. I cannot stay in fellowship with God and go back and do things that I used to not do. Hey, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost won't let me do that. Anybody listening? I'll tell you where we're missing it today. We're missing it on fellowshipping. Amen. Can I tell you, this preacher can only carry you so far. I tell you, my church, I tell you, I pray for our church, your pastor prays for this church. I'm telling you, I can only preach and teach so much. I cannot carry you. You will have to have some time with God yourself. And if you don't get it yourself, you're not going far with God.
Yes,
amen. Yeah, man. Fellowshipping with God produces a state of surrender. Are you listening, church? I'm just simply saying, hey, that causes us to deal with our sin. I got to deal with my sin. John said we got to deal with our sin. Amen. You know what sin is? You've heard me saying 8 times in this reading tonight. Hey, 8 times in 5 verses, he says sin. John said, here's what I get out of that. If we're going to have fellowship, we got to deal with the sin in our life. How bad is the sin got to be? Well, Adam and Eve took fruit. Amen. Any of y'all ever stole a baby Ruth? Hello? Preacher, how bad I got a sin? Have you ever stole any fruit? Amen. Hey, we got it down what sin is. Well, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't cuss, and you sure can't commit fornication. You know, that's bad sin, bad sin. They took a piece of fruit. How sensitive is sin? Well, the Bible said to him that knoweth do good and doeth not, that's sin. You know what I believe, preacher? We don't preach much on the sin of omission. We preach on the sin of commission. Here's what I believe. I believe you commit sin because you omit doing things. Are you listening? Really, the big sin is the sin of omission, because omission leads to commission. And we got a lot of people omitting reading their Bible. That's why they get in sin. They omit praying. That's why they get in sin. They omit going to church regular. That's why they get in sin. Why is the preacher always harping on you ought to go to church? You ought to go to church. You ought to go to church. At least that's what they tell us, preacher. Tell you why we're harping on it. Because when you quit doing that, you're going to get in sin. Amen and amen. So the sin of omission causes us to do the sin of commission. Amen. Hey, sin, what is sin? Sin is unbelief. Sin is unrighteousness. I heard about the man went to the preacher and said, preacher, I finally reached the place I don't sin anymore. He said, do what? He said, I finally reached the place that I don't sin anymore. He said, well, that's fine, brother. I'll talk to your wife about that. Is anybody listening? You've heard this saying, a praying man will stop sinning, the sinner man will stop praying. You've heard this saying, the Bible will keep you from sin, the sinner will keep you from the Bible. I read this. You know you're on your way to revival and victory when you're sick of yourself and sorry for your sin. Hallelujah. Hey, F.B. Meyer said, the greater the man, the greater the price he pays for a short season of sin. What is sin? There's the depths of it, all of sin. There's the deception of it. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Hey, don't fool yourself. Sin's got pleasure in it. But it's going to only last for a season. Amen and amen. Hey, the destruction of sin, the wages of sin is death. What bothers me is people are not bothered by sin anymore. I am telling you, we're living in a society, we're living in a church age today that sin is hardly ever dealt with. How are we going to have revival and not preach on sin? I'm telling you, that's where we are. Amen. We've accepted it. We've learned to live with it. We've legalized it. We've covered it up. We've renamed it. And what amazes me is a preacher can preach 3 times a week and for a year and never talk about sin. You know what I like about churches like this? You know a church won't preach on sin? Don't give an opportunity for people to get right with God. You know what a church like this does? It'll preach on sin so it'll give you an opportunity to get right with God. Matter of fact, God is the only institution I don't know on planet Earth that was put on here to deal with sin is the church. God instituted the church to deal with our sin. In fact, every book in the New Testament was written to a church or somebody to deal with their sin. Are y'all listening? God said, hey, the church needs to deal with sin. Amen. What kind of sin? Stealing fruit? And we laugh, but I'm telling you, that's what they did. They took a piece of fruit and got us all in a jam. Is anybody listening? Amen. Hey, y'all help me, church. What we got to do about our sin? We got to come to the light. God is light. Bible said God is light. Hey, let God define what sin is. Hey, bring it to God's light and see if it's sin. Don't let society tell you what sin is. Let God tell you what sin is. We have got so warped in this society that now abortion is endorsed by the country. Now, wait a minute. I can understand abortion being in a country, but now the country sanctions abortion. The law of the land by the country, hey, society says abortion is not sin. You better don't look to society to find sin. You better look to the scriptures. Amen. Does anybody listen? Hey, Satan wants to strangle you with sin. Society wants to suppress sin. But the Savior wants to set you free from sin. We're now living in a society that homosexuality is sanctioned by this nation. I heard on Fox News, now this is not a religious report. Fox News said this, heard it with my own ear. They said now in this country, 59% of America says and sanctions that homosexuality is okay. Do you know where that puts us? Do you know what's going to happen to us? If the Lord don't come and we keep preaching and teaching like we're preaching and teaching, you know what they're going to do to us. That will never happen in America. Oh, come on. I have a preacher friend of mine preaches in Canada. And he was out there preaching in Canada. And the pastor told him, he said, this was back about 3 years ago. He said, we're one step in Parliament from the church going underground. He said, why do you say that? He says, because now if we openly preach against homosexuality, they go come and get us. And so the evangelist asked him, he said, how far do you think America is from that? He said, y'all ain't too far behind. Are you listening to me? I'm just telling you, hey, society has defined what is sin. Homosexuality is not sin. Abortion is not sin. Hey, we don't need to look to the world to sanction sin. We need to look what the Bible says about sin. And the Bible is not going to change. Society changes, but the Bible don't change. And we need to find out what sin is so we can forsake it. Thank God for a church that does that. That church cares more about you. Some liberal church that tells you all right and nothing is wrong. Hey, they're a bunch of hirelings. Thank God for a church that will tell me I'm wrong so I can get right. Amen. You can't get wrong. You can't get right till you get wrong. Amen. Hey, think of all the mental, emotional, and physical distress that's in our country because of sin. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, I send to say, come to the light. Amen. The Bible gives us light about our sins so that God can remove it. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in sin. Hey, this is why we're preaching like this, so you can get out of sin. We ain't mad at you. We were there. Hallelujah. Man, when I got saved and got in church, I was in a dead, cold, liberal church. I went back to that church. They didn't know what happened to me. I mean, the preacher didn't even know what happened. I slipped up one. I didn't know these words. I didn't grow up in a Bible preaching church. And I didn't know the language. All I knew is the language of the world, the cussing and all the filthy jokes and all the ungodliness. And I got saved and I got in my church I grew up in as a young boy. And I'm telling you, it was so dead in that church. And one Sunday the preacher slipped up and said something good. And I said, amen. I mean, before I knew it, it popped out of my mouth. I didn't know that language. And boy, when it popped out and I looked at everybody that was looking at me, I wanted to grab it and put it back in. That afternoon, the preacher knocked on my door. I said, well, Mama, the preacher's coming to eat dinner with us. And it ain't playing. I went to the door and said, preacher, you coming in? Eat with me? He said, I didn't come to eat dinner. I said, what'd you come for? He said, we got problems. I said, what's the problem? He said, man, you down there saying amen in church, and then you and your wife went to the altar. Said, them people's upset. I'm talking about a Baptist church. I said, they upset about it. They said, oh, they upset. They said, if we can make this a Pentecostal church, they're going uptown to the big church. I said, well, preacher, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I mean, that just popped out on me. I didn't know. I hardly even said that word before. He said, well, we got problems. I said, well, you want me to leave? He said, I ain't telling you to leave. I said, what do you want me to do? Here's what he told me, Brother Mark. He said, don't rock the boat. I said, I ain't going to rock it. I didn't rock it. I turn it over. I got out. I found me a church like this. I found me a church wanting you to say amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, you know what I thought about it? If you don't like your preacher, just get behind him Sunday morning, get up on the edge of the pew, and when he starts preaching, say, amen, preacher, bring it on. That's right. He'll drop dead with a heart attack. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just simply trying to say to us today, thank God we have an organism called a church that was instituted to deal with our sin. Amen. Man, I left that church. I got in the church. That preacher, I'm there. He said, this is the truth. This is the truth. Brother Don, he said, could we say? Well, could we say? And he popped up one Sunday morning and said something. That's when I said amen. And I left that and I went to a church, 260-pound, independent, fundamental Baptist. He come down the aisle, beating on the pews. You need to get right with God, you sorry sinner. I said, oh God, what a change. I run to the altar. But you know what? Had I not gotten that church, where would I be? I got in the church, told me about my sin. Amen. Got in the church, told me how to live. Told me what I was doing wrong. Told me what ought to do is right. You got to deal with your sin. Come to the light. Amen. Number two, don't lie. Here's what he said. Look what he said in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. John don't beat around the bush. John said we lie to others in verse 6. John said in verse number 8, look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. John said we lie to others, we lie to ourselves. Bible said in verse number 10, look at verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. He said we're a liar to others, we lie to ourselves, we don't even lie to God. Hey, Cain over there said, I don't know where Abel is. He's telling God, I don't know where, and God looking, oh man, y'all help me. Man is so wicked and so deceptive, he'll try to lie to God about his sin. Amen, amen. You know, listen to me, after 35 years of preaching, amen, I'm convinced that we've got a lot of people that have tried to remove their guilt by lying to their own selves. They deceived themselves. Can I give you a class illustration? Had a man in the home, men's home, come by to my office one day, knocked on the door, came in and said, preacher, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, man, that's what I'm here for. Sat down at the desk. Well, I come to find out he was in our men's home. I had preached his graduation 25 years ago. I didn't even know that when we took him. So he's a notorious drug addict from my hometown. I mean, he's a crack cocaine addict. And he was in our home and he sat down in a chair. He said, preacher, I want to talk to you about my addiction. I said, okay. He said, preacher, you know I'm on crack cocaine. And I've tried to kick it for years. And I know all about him. I know all about this boy. And he said, but preacher, you know, I know I'm saved. I said, wait a minute now. You know you're saved? He said, preacher, I made a profession when I was a young boy. But he said, that was not real. But he said, some years ago, I made a profession of faith. I know I got saved. And I said, but brother, you've lived that lifestyle ever since you made that profession. You lived on drugs and some alcohol. You're addicted. And when you get saved, God's going to deliver you from that. He said, well, preacher, I want to ask you something. He said, I've heard you say before from the pulpit since I've been here that people can smoke and be saved. I said, yeah. He said, well, they got an addiction. He said, they're addicted to nicotine. Y'all stay with me, church. He said, but I'm addicted to crack cocaine. He said, their addiction is wrong and they can be saved, but my addiction is wrong and you say I can't be saved. Hello? I was acting just about like y'all was acting. And I said, brother, listen to me now. Listen to me. The Bible said, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such for some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. I said, if I'd believe what you're telling me, then a fornicator can live a fornicating lifestyle and be saved. If I believe what you're telling me, then an effeminate homosexual can live a homosexual lifestyle and be saved. If I believe what you're telling me, then all these people I've just mentioned in the Bible, they can live their lifestyle and be saved. I said, listen to me, brother. You have deceived yourself. Multitudes of people in our churches are deceiving themselves because they're living in sin and still say they're saved. I did not say you cannot fall in sin. I did not say you can't backslide. I'm saying you're not going to live a lifestyle of sin and be saved. Somebody help me. I don't believe you'll be perfect. I don't believe you'll be sinless, but you will start sinning less. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, multitudes of people are deceived about their sin, and I'm telling you, it's going to take them to hell. If that's not true, why did they say over there in Matthew chapter number 7, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name did many wonderful works? Then will I say to them, I depart from thee, I never knew you. Are you listening? I'm telling you, people are deceived by their sin. God said you're going to have to come to the light. Let God define what sin is. Hey, when we don't deal with our sin, are you listening to me? We lose. Here's what he said. I'm about through. Look in verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Hey, when we don't deal with our sin and have fellowship with God, we don't have no joy. You cannot fellowship with God with sin in your life and have joy. Are you listening to me? How many joyful Christians do you know? Now, we're at church tonight. We know one another. But I'm talking about down on your work job, down at your school, wherever you work, how many Christians down there that you know are joyful Christians? I can tell you, very few. You are blessed to have somebody on your job that knows God, just knows God. And someone on your job that says they know God has no joy, they have no countenance of joy in their life. Hey, why? Because if they are saved, they don't have no fellowship. Are you listening? Hey, remember this. God wants us to have joy. What's going to tell people we are saved? I think it's our countenance of joy. Amen and amen. Are you listening? Hey, remember this. The devil will always accuse you of your sin. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, he convicts. The devil accuses and the Holy Spirit convicts. I'm saying that to say this. The devil will try to make you feel guilty about things you used to do. But if God's forgiven your sin, then that's not the Holy Spirit. When God forgives us of our sin, the Holy Spirit will never deal with us about that again. Here's my point. The Holy Spirit will not convict us of what we've already been forgiven of. Stay with me. What you did before you got saved is forgiven. So when guilt comes in your life, if you've had something in your life in your past, then when you got saved, God took that away, and the devil brings that up. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is the devil. I had a boy in my church. I knew he was messing up. Matter of fact, I was on the way to court with him one day because he had messed up. And I was letting him talk, and he was talking. I got to hurry. He was talking. I could tell the more he talked, he was on the verge of something. So I listened, and finally I just looked at him. I said, brother, I said, I'm your pastor. He said, yeah, pastor. I said, you've been drinking, ain't you? And he broke down and started crying. He said, preacher, I have. I've been drinking. And he said, I beg God to forgive me. He said, that was my weakness before I got saved. You know all about my past. And he said, I went back and I drank. And I got intoxicated. And he said, I have begged God. I have begged God to forgive me. But he said, I can't forgive myself. And I ain't no psychologist, but this is what I told him. I said, I'm telling you something, brother. If you don't forgive yourself, you're going to do it again. Because if you don't forgive yourself, you're going to stay guilty, and you cannot overcome being guilty. You better bear it. If you've told God you're sorry, and you really are sorry, God has forgiven you and cleansed you. Get up and go on. Hey, here's what the devil does. The devil takes what sins we've done, and he tries to make us guilty. Here's what I'm telling you, I ain't been so many years over that myself. I am not going to let the devil rob me of my joy. Hey, if I mess up, I do mess up, I tell God I messed up, I tell God I'm wrong, forgive me, cleanse me, let me get up. And I say, devil, you may as well shut up, I'm forgiven, amen. Anybody listen? Holy Spirit will never convict you of what God's already forgiven you of. Amen and amen. Holy Spirit, he's going to convict you specifically when you do sin. I don't see how some people say they're saved and live the way they do and say they're saved. Are you listening? Hey, in this chapter we read, we dealt with the root of sin and the fruit of sin. We're dealing with the principal sin. We're dealing with the practice of sin. We're dealing with the source of sin. We're dealing with the symptoms of sin. Hey, we sin because we have a sinful nature. Hey, the principle is my nature's sinful, and the practice is I sin because I have a sinful nature. By the way, when you got saved, God didn't change that. I still have the same flesh that I had before I got saved. Amen and amen. If you don't believe that, read Romans 7 where Paul had a debate on that. Amen. What I would do, I don't. What I do, ought to do, I don't do. Somebody help me. I believe that's the same man trying to overcome the flesh. Amen. Oh, let me hurry. Let me hurry. Amen. God's going to deal with you about your sin. He's going to convict you. Amen. Holy Spirit, he convicts you so he can redeem you of it. Listen to me. He said, we have cleansed us from our sin. The devil gives us no remedy. He is an accuser of you to you, you to others, others to you, and he'll even accuse you to God. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. The devil gives no remedy. Holy Spirit gives relief. When the Holy Spirit convicts, we'll deal with it. There'll be peace. You know what? The pastor could tell me more about this than I know. But I've had people 33 years have a problem of doubt, and they can't get their salvation settled. And here's what I've told them numbers of times. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about salvation, and you come to an altar, and if it's the Holy Spirit, and you pray to get saved, God's going to give you peace. But if God don't give you peace, it is not the Holy Spirit doing it. It's the devil trying to confuse you. Because anything the Holy Spirit convicts you of, when you deal with it, he's going to give you peace about it. Hallelujah. And you can't get saved but one time. Amen. You could pray. Hey, if you're saved and you're trying to get saved again, it ain't going to work. Somebody, how many times can a baby get born? Somebody help me. Amen. That's the devil. That's the devil confusing. That ain't the Holy Spirit. If it's the Holy Spirit and you come down here and say, oh, God said, you get up shouting, amen. I'm through. I done lied 20 times. Lord, you convicted me. Amen. Amen. The devil wants to bring confusion. Confession. He said, if we confess our sin. And I didn't admit sin, that's confessing it. Confessing means coming face to face with God and agreeing with God that I'm wrong. That's confession. Catholics admit, Baptists confess, Christians confess. Amen. God, I'm wrong. God says you're wrong. God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm on your side. God, I'm wrong. You can get your sin taken care of. I tell you, sometimes though, when God convicts you of sin, hey, and you come and confess, it don't give you immediate results. I know that to be true because when I first got saved, I went to that preacher that preached so hard. But every Sunday I'd go, he'd preach on smoking. And I was smoking. Evidently, he never did smoke because he had no mercy. Oh, Lord, that must have been one of his pet peeves. I am telling you, he did not back up on smoking. I mean, he said things I didn't even repeat to you. He said if God wanted you to smoke, he'd have put your nose on top of your head and made it a smoke set. I mean, he was not mercy. I don't preach like that. I said, oh, God, I've been there. Please quit smoking, amen. Is anybody listening? But I'll tell you, he'd preach, I'd go to the altar. I said, God, the preacher's mad. I got to quit smoking. I did. I'm telling you. I said, oh, God, I know I got to quit. He knows about it. You know about it. My wife knows about it. I want to quit smoking. I'd light one up going home. That is the truth. And I'd go back next Sunday. He'd hit it again. I said, oh, God, I got to quit. I know I got. I'd light one up going home. But I just kept going. I don't smoke today. Are you listening? Hey, if you come to God and confess your sin and you keep your faith, God will give you victory. I don't know. I'm not talking about a smoke. It could be whatever's in your life that God deals with. If you keep coming, God will give you victory. Amen. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just saying, here's the message. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. God wants us to confess it. God wants us to be cleansed. Isn't that what revival's about? The guilt will be gone. Are you listening? Hey, listen to this. True story. I used to drive a bus when I was in that church. I drove a bus for 7 years picking up kids, bringing them to church. And I used to get some rough kids. And I had one little boy named Tommy Frazier. And Tommy Frazee lived down a long down a dirt road, but the juke joint was right there. And so you had to go through the juke joint, by the juke joint, and go down there and pick up Tommy, and I had to turn the bus around and come back out. Well, when I picked Tommy up and I turned the bus around, I didn't know that, but I thought it was Tommy's daddy's land. He was a log. Hack Frazier was a log. I mean, he's about 6'4". He had one tooth right in the middle of his head. I mean, mean as a junkyard dog, but he would let me take his children to church. And I went go down there and pick Tommy up, and I turned around. Well, the man who run the junk joint said, "You tell that boy driving that bus, if he turns around on my property anymore, I'm going to do something to him." Well, old Hack Frazier said, "Well, he's picking up my boy and bringing him to church." He said, "I don't care what he's doing. You tell him don't turn that bus around on my property." And so he didn't tell me, he told Hack. He said, "Let me tell you something, big boy. If you mess with that bus driver, I'll beat the devil out of you. I like that kind, amen." So I'd pick Tommy up, and sometime I'd pick him up on Saturday, and I'd take him to the house. And I said, "Sister Nora, let's fix him." Because he's in a poor, family. And I say, "Let's fix him some good sandwich and get him something to drink." And I said, "In the meanwhile, because he was dirty. Tommy was dirty. Tommy didn't take that. I don't know if they must not had water or something." So I'd go up there and I'd draw the bathtub full of water. I mean, full of water. I'd make him think he's going to the swimming pool. You know, I jump out. So I'd fill it up full of water. I said, "Now, Tommy, come on in here." I said, "Tommy, that's the bathtub full of water. There's a washcloth. There's soap." I said, "You get in that tub. You take that water. You wash. Wash your hair. Wash off." And I'm telling you, preacher, I'd go in there. I said, "Mama, come here." I'm telling you, the water would be black. I mean, he was so dirty, it would be black. But you ever wash the dog? You wash a dog, he goes crazy. You take a dog back there, wash him all up, and let him go. He runs all over the yard. I mean, acting crazy. I let Tommy out in the bathroom. He run out. He didn't know how to act. Why? He's clean. You know, sometimes we go to church. You know why we act like this? Hey, we've been washed by the blood of the Son of God. Sometimes it just causes us to act wild. Amen. Preacher, what's so excited about being clean? I tell you, I can come before a holy God. Been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And even sometime after I've been saved, you've been saved, we get messed up, we get sin in our life, and we could come before God, and we say, "Oh God, I'm sorry." And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you listening? Hey, fellowship. God wants us to fellowship with Him. God wants us to be clean. Are you listening? I was going to turn there, but I don't have time. You know what Caleb's dying request was? When he was 85 years old, Caleb said, "I'm 85, but I want Mount Hebron." You know what Hebron is? It means fellowship, communion. He said, "I done walked around in this circle out here for 40 years with these bunch of rebels. Hey, somebody help me." He said, "When I get over in Canaan, I want Mount Hebron." He said, these bunch of rebels about caused me to lose my fellowship with God. Somebody here. He said, "If I didn't have Joshua to fellowship with, this crowd would have drove me crazy. Somebody help me, please." And he said, "I want Mount Hebron." 85 years old. You know what he did? He got Mount Hebron. Are you listening? Here's what I read, Brother Donnie. I was reading a book the other day, and it said the Amazon River starts 75 miles from the Pacific Ocean. But the Amazon River in Peru, the Andes of Peru, it don't go to the Pacific Ocean, 75 miles. It goes 4,000 miles to the Atlantic Ocean. Listen now. Hey, if it went 75 miles to the Pacific Ocean, you'd have never heard of the Amazon River. But because it took another route, 4,000 miles to the Atlantic Ocean, it starts off as a little trickle. But it flows through South America, down through the jungles, weaving in and out. It picks up 200 rivers, dumps in to the Amazon River. And they said it starts off as a little trickle. When it gets to the mouth of the Atlantic Ocean, it is 90 miles from one bank to the other bank. And when it hits the Atlantic Ocean, it hits it with such force that fresh water makes the Atlantic Ocean fresh water 100 miles out in the ocean. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, hey, we need to stay in fellowship with God. Stay fresh with God. The sea represents people. If we would stay fresh with God and in fellowship with God, we'd impact a world for God. Is anybody listening?
How's your fellowship? Did you talk with him today? Did you read his Bible today? Amen. Fellowshipping is the only thing that's going to satisfy you. Nothing else going to do it. Let's stand, let's pray. Father, help us. All I know to do is say help. I need help myself. Do something for us, God, in this service. God, help us to stay fresh with God so we can have an impact on a world that doesn't even know God. And Lord, if we don't fellowship with you, we'll not be able to do that. I'm glad I'm saved. I believe there's a lot of saved people. But there is not a lot of people fellowshipping with God. Help us as our prayer. Do something in this service. Move on the hearts of your people. May this meeting make a difference in our lives because of our fellowship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Musicians are playing. Songs going to be sung. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, God, I know I've been saved, but I'm guilty. And I know to some degree all of us are guilty. But I'm talking about I'm away from God. Why don't you come tonight and get some help in this invitation? We're going to sing. They're going to play. You get some help tonight while we sing, while we play. You come tonight. The altar's open. Some have already come. Maybe you need to come tonight. Let God help you. Amen. Yes, yes.